Chapter 19. I stood just outside of the hole in the fortifications and watched as chaos unfolded around me. My men rushed forward with the devices Askara had crafted, both the small and large ones. They tossed them toward the crowds of women, and I heard a shrill beep come from a few of them. Instantly, a cloud of pink fumes lifted into the air as the devices deployed, and within seconds, the aristocrats disappeared from view. Someone thumped down beside me, and when I glanced over my shoulder, Cecilia puffed out her cheeks. The black drake woman wiped a light sheen of sweat from her forehead, brushed off her hands, and then pressed them into her hips with a soft chuckle.
The guards on top of the wall have been neutralized.
The ex-guard smiled.
I took the liberty of hauling them back to the cages as a caravan, so we don't have to worry about them for now. Wait,
Daisy interrupted.
You already took them back to the caravan? Yeah.
The redhead laughed, stretched her back, and then flipped forward on both hands down the cobblestone street.
You could say that having the use of portals makes things a lot easier than you thought.
Cecilia, I breathed, and then grinned wickedly. Does that mean you can portal even conscious women back to the cages? The black drake woman hummed for a second while tapping her chin.
I didn't think of that. I took them there because I thought it was the safest way, but... yeah, I could probably do that too.
I knew you'd be an asset when we added you to the family, I uttered, and offered the black drake woman my hand. But I never knew you'd be this much help. All right, the soldiers will be taking care of the citizens. Let's get to the manor. Askara, do you know which direction to go in?
Yes.
My soldier nodded and held his warhammers a little tighter to his chest. From what I saw from the different locations around the city, every road on the outside leads to the middle. Guide us, I urged. You tell us which direction to go and we'll follow you.
This way!
Askara shouted over the chaos around us and raced forward down the panicking streets. My women and I pounded after Askara, and I barely had time to take in the city around us. Granum seemed like any other city that I'd been to before. When I raised my head to the sky, flaming arrows blasted through the darkness, slammed down onto the roofs of buildings, and quickly caught fire. Before long, Granum would be nothing more than a scorched mark on the map, exactly like I wanted. My women fanned out around us in a defensive arrow shape, but the crowd of terrified aristocrats paid us no mind as more of my soldiers set off the devices. I wasn't sure if the Marchioness would know we were here by the time we reached the manor. She probably would, since there were guards here and there throughout the crowd. The guards, women clothed entirely in black, fought back against my soldiers and monster women, but those that didn't turned on their heels and raced off through alleyways.
They're scurrying back to their leader,
I barked to a group of soldiers and pointed toward the quickly receding shadows of the guards.
Make sure they don't make it, understood?
Yes, my lord,
one of them barked, reached into his pack, and grabbed a handful of the tiny devices.
Now go, I ordered. We can't win this battle if the Marchioness isn't under our control.
Without another word, I nodded and quickly raced to the front of our group with Askara a few steps behind me. Granum wasn't a lovely city like I would have described Edenheart or even Burskan. The buildings, businesses, and even the streets were covered in a thick layer of grime and soot from the factories looming off in the distance. The streets were worse than the buildings, though, and we had to maneuver around piles of glutinous blackish-brown muck every few feet. The city's smell was even worse, and I couldn't tell if it was from the disgusting muck in the streets or the stinking smoke pouring out of the factories.
How could anyone live here?
Valerie asked, launched herself over an even larger heap of brown sludge, landed squarely on her feet, and then glanced over her shoulder with a frown.
If the mess isn't enough, the whole city reeks of sewage.
I don't think you want to know,
Daisy uttered and pinched her nose as she pointed at the piles with her free hand.
But that is sewage. Ew!
The feline woman shrieked and hopped away from another pile laying in the gutter.
Like, actually human sewage or like horse crap?
Could be a combination of both,
the bear girl stated.
It's best not to think about it and move on.
How could my beautiful city come to this?
Edeny growled, and I felt the electricity heighten in the air.
What have they done to make it come to a state such as this?
It wasn't like this before, I asked with furrowed eyebrows.
Do you really think that I'd allow such things like this to happen in my city?
The Duchess balked.
You saw how Edenheart and Burskan were. They were clean and orderly. I would have never allowed any of this to happen. This is filth! The citizens of Granum are living in a sea of absolute waste!
Edeni, I uttered and urged us forward again. I see the fire within you burning brightly. Don't let it die out. Set the city you used to love ablaze, and we will build it anew. The she-wolf threw back her head, and instantly neon yellows, whites, and oranges crackled to life around her body. Slowly the wolf woman lifted from the disgusting cobblestones, and she brought up her hands, then slammed them together with a sound loud enough to be thunder.
With pleasure.
Edeni simpered through curled lips, and her mesmerizing violet eyes fluttered closed. When she reopened them, they were wholly white, and seven different orbs of electricity fizzled to life around her. Above our heads, the calm, cloudy sky soared and began to swirl as if a tornado were about to touch down in the middle of Granum. Edeni's right hand slammed out, and instantly a single lightning bolt struck down. Valerie clapped her hands over her ears and yelped, and Ryan's eyes closed as she cringed against the noise. In quick succession, the Duchess brought down 10 more lightning bolts, and fires burst to life before my very eyes. I'd never seen Edeni more powerful than this, and from the wide grin plastered across her features, this task gave her more joy than I'd expected.
Charles!
Daisy shouted over the noise.
What are you doing? Why are we destroying Granum?
We're not! I shook my head, stared up at my magnificent creation, and felt her immense power wash over me. We're simply wiping the slate clean. Edeni's hands looked like a conductor waving a baton as she brought down more lightning bolts from the churning sky. When I glanced over at the rest of my women, their faces were bathed in orange and yellow hues from the blazing fires. Slowly, their terrified and confused expressions changed, and wicked grins spread over their lips.
Granum won't know what hit him,
Cleia snarled, slammed out both arms, and icicles exploded up out of her skin like a strange, rigid mass of armor. Steam rose from the sharp protrusions, and as the Nyx woman brought her hand up and back, a spike of frozen water protruded out of the middle of her palm. The turquoise-haired woman slammed out both hands in quick succession, and the icy projectiles flew through the air like arrows. As they slammed into the sides of the factories, ice spread over the walls, and when Cleia retracted her hand, it began to crack the entire building.
Oh no, you didn't.
Ryan threw back her head and cackled toward the churning sky.
You don't get to have all of the fun, not when Ryan, the fire demon, is on the scene.
Fire demon?
Josephine laughed lightly.
We've never called you that before, but I love the name.
The red-skinned beauty scoffed with a smile, tossed her dark locks over her shoulder, and then bent her knees as she ran alongside the rest of us. A trail of blue fire burst to life behind her, and the imp woman paused for a second, launched herself into the air in an elegant twirl, and held out her hands on either side of her. I skidded to a stop for half a second as I took in the swirling fire tornado barreling down the street in front of us. I'd never seen my women perform any of these moves, and when I glanced at each of them out of the corner of my eye, they all gave me sly grins.
Edeni's training paid off pretty well, didn't it?
Daisy asked, patted me on the shoulder, and then raced off down the street. The bear girl planted her feet in front of a single building, took a deep breath, and seemed to center herself. Before I could even blink, the brunette brought both hands up over her head and exhaled slowly. Her honey-colored eyes slammed open, and in one swift movement she stepped forward, jabbed out her hands, and an enormous wall of air rushed forward toward the factory. I almost couldn't believe what I was seeing. One second, the building was there in front of my eyes, and the next, it was nothing more than a dusty pile of rubble.
Askara,
Daisy called.
Is the manor this way? I made a shortcut.
Yes.
The guard stammered and hurried that way with the rest of us in tow. I already knew that Edeni had trained them, but all of this, well, it seemed utterly impossible. Their skills were honed to absolute perfection.
Edeni!
Valerie shouted up to the wolf woman floating midair.
Yes, my dear.
The she-wolf called, slammed out her hand again, and rained down another flurry of lightning bolts.
Just wait until we get to the manor,
the feline woman sang excitedly.
I'm going to whip out that thing you taught me.
As the ash blonde spoke, she waved a hand rapidly in front of her face, and above her, Edeni cracked a smile.
I can't wait for Charles to see it. You've been practicing, haven't you?
Yes! I mean, it's not as effective when I'm by myself, but I've still been doing it just to practice the moves.
As we hopped and crawled over the rubble, I saw in the distance the Marchioness's manor directly in the middle of all of the factories. It was a massive black and brown brick building with large windows that overlooked the rest of the city. If I didn't know the telltale signs of an aristocrat's manor, I would have thought it was nothing more than another factory. But with all of the lavish decorations on the sides, it was clear to me that this was where the Marchioness resided. The lights inside were on, so that could only mean one thing. The Marchioness knew that we were here, and we were attacking the city. I glanced over my shoulder at Ascara, and the soldier's deep-set eyes were glued to the outer walls of the building. His face looked pensive and pained. We didn't know if the woman who lived in this building was his past mistress, but there was a definite possibility that it could be her in there. Edeny told me that only a few of the elimination types were born every century, so it very well could be a possibility that the woman we were about to fight was the very same one that purchased him and kept him for 5 years. We had no way of knowing, but we would soon find out.
Is that it?
Cecilia asked as she reappeared out of a smoky blue portal.
I think so, I nodded. And look, she's waiting for us.
We crossed into the street in front of the manor, and I noticed it was much cleaner here. There were no piles of steaming brown waste, though the air still stunk from the black, choking smoke. I was surprised to see that there were no guards here, but if the Marchioness were a soul-sucker like Edeny theorized, she wouldn't need any. These women employed by the Queen were weapons, and they knew how to use their abilities better than the run-of-the-mill aristocrats. We neared the manor, and through the large open windows, I spied intricate chandeliers and expensive-looking furniture. Every Marchioness we'd come into contact with already lived in luxury while the city's citizens lived in filth and poverty. How could they stand to live in their own skin? The answer to that question was easy. They didn't care. Every aristocrat I'd known since the moment I was born was more concerned with their lives and what was happening to them instead of the people around them. Their selfishness knew no bounds, but once they stepped into my machine, all of that ended. My machine was the great and almighty equalizer. Every woman that went in came out entirely different with new beliefs and moral codes.
Well, well, well.
A deep, oaky voice boomed from the doorway of the building, and I slowly raised my head toward the speaker.
I always knew that at some point this mighty city would come under attack. Who sent you? The Queen? Is she so concerned about our business that she sent an army of puny soldiers to do her bidding? Or is it someone else? Who are you? What are you doing here?
The woman standing just inside the doorway was tall, and her royal blue hair curled down to her shoulders. Her orange eyes cut through the space between us and slashed through each of us, but that wasn't what caught my attention. Her power was so immense, it crawled across the cobblestones toward us and washed over us in overpowering waves. I'd never felt a power such as this before. It was horrifyingly strong, and when I leaned into it to get a sense of it, I felt an overwhelming sense of dread. When I glanced over at Ascara, my soldier's face was white as a sheet, and his lips were pressed into a firm line. Just as we'd suspected, this was the woman who'd once owned him, but it seemed she hadn't seen or recognized him yet. "Keep close to one of my women," I ordered him in a whisper. "It doesn't matter which one, but I'm telling you right now we're taking her in alive, and you'll be the one to throw the switch."
"Thank you, my lord."
The guard bowed his head and then stepped closer to Edeny.
"Again,"
Aliana chuckled as she slithered down the stairs.
"Who are you, and why are you attacking Granum? Is there something you want from us? Something that you desperately need?"
"My name is Charles Rayburn," I uttered, stepped forward, and held out the staff at my side. "I'm the leader of the New Order, and Granum is now mine."
"Rayburn. Rayburn,"
the Marchioness repeated and tapped her chin with a single finger.
"I've heard that name. Now where do I know it from? Oh, I remember. Weren't you the slimy little worm that Kalara was sent to kill? Yes, I remember that vividly. So it seems that Kalara failed. Interesting. I wonder if the Queen killed her for her failure."
"She didn't," I grinned. "I got to her before the Queen could."
"So,
Aliana lazily purred.
You plan to do what? Attack? Kill me?
Not exactly, I grinned, nodded to each of my women, and then bent my knees. But I guess you'll find out. My women understood what we needed to do from the last time we fought a marchioness. They needed to distract and attack her while I moved in closer. All I had to do was take her abilities away, and then she'd be powerless.
You may want to stand back, Askara.
Edeny warned as her eyes flickered with blinding white light.
I wouldn't want you to get electrocuted.
Nah.
Valerie giggled, skipped forward, and then phased out of view.
Let me handle this. Hey, lady, look right here.
Aliana's eyes landed on the ash blonde as she materialized right in front of her, and I squinted to see what was happening. Valerie seemed to be standing in place, but her outline looked fuzzy, almost as if she were rapidly vibrating. But that's when I saw it. It wasn't just the edges of the feline woman's body that were blurry, but also the 2 feet on either side of her. Valerie was moving so quickly that it created something almost like a mirage, and Aliana's orange eyes glazed over for a second.
Charles!
Edeny boomed.
Go! Go now!
I didn't need much more prompting than that, and raced forward with the weapon held tightly to my chest. Instantly, the bluish-purple core glowed scarlet, and I shifted my gaze back toward the frozen marchioness.
Wait!
Valerie screamed, and took an instinctive step backward.
Don't! Stop!
Aliana's body seemed to shift, and a black shadow leaned forward out of her physical body. This was the Soul Sucker's power revealing itself to us. The black being had no features, not even a face, but it moved forward jerkily toward the ash blonde like a reanimated corpse. The shadow lunged forward toward the feline woman, and a horrible sound erupted from the creature. A portal opened up where the beast's mouth should have been, and immediately Valerie froze in place as Aliana's cackling laughter lifted into the air.
Not so fast!
A whooping voice shouted, and my eyes were filled with brilliant blues and blazing oranges.
Hey, Marchioness, ever felt what it's like being hit with fire and ice at the same time?
Ryan raced ahead of me with her knees bent, and her hands held out on either side of her. Waves of fire blazed out behind her, but the imp woman kept her orange eyes glued to the marchioness ahead.
I don't think she's ready,
Cleia laughed, and I glanced to the right where the voice came from. Cleia slammed out her hands toward the ground, produced a layer of ice below her feet, and then slid along it. The Nyx woman's mint-colored eyes were trained on Aliana, but right as I thought she'd reach her, the turquoise-haired woman changed direction. The ice underneath of her lifted into the air in a giant curve, and the Nyx woman slid along it as she pushed both of her palms out toward the marchioness. Right as Valerie's trance broke, the marchioness disappeared into a hail of projectiles and a plume of blue flames. Ryan and Cleia didn't relent for a second, and finally, Edeny appeared out of a blue portal behind Aliana and grinned down at her back with her tensed hands outstretched. I was a few feet away by now, and I felt the electricity bite at my skin. Using my momentum, I turned my feet to the side and skidded to a stop as an enormous dome of electricity slammed down around Aliana. I could barely make out the marchioness inside of it, but what I could see jerked and shuddered. Her voice raised into the air in agonized screams, but I ignored it as I pushed off again. Edeny's eyes met mine for half a second as she held the dome in place over Aliana. Right as I was about to climb up the 3 stairs toward the marchioness. The Duchess didn't want to let go. She wanted to continue punishing her for what she'd done to her beloved city. But finally she relented. The yellow, white, and orange dome retracted, and Aliana wobbled on her feet. Her once sleek brown hair was fried and smoked as if it were about to burst into flames itself. Her face was covered in horrid burn marks, and as she wobbled on her spindly feet, her yellow eyes shook in their sockets. Suddenly the marchioness froze, and a pained squeak rushed up her throat. I didn't have to guess that it was Josephine's power at work, and I silently thanked the Drake woman for her help. I hurried up the last steps, gripped the staff between both hands, and then lunged forward. My eyes filled with the flashing colors of the core as it reacted to my movements, and I thrust it forward toward the marchioness's chest. It pierced into her, and for a second, I thought it would go all the way through. Aliana's eyes slammed open, and an agonized scream ripped through the air.
The shadow I'd seen before leaned out of her body as the Marchioness's eyes focused on me. But this time, it seemed weaker than before. The same horrible shrieking sound vibrated against my eardrums. But I didn't relent. Instead, I put all of my strength into the staff and forced myself forward.
No.
Aliana groaned in a low voice.
No, don't go. Please don't leave me. I need you.
For a second, I thought she was talking to me. But then I realized she was talking to the creature that appeared out of her body. The black outline that was still partly connected to the Marchioness at the waist shuddered violently, and the shrieking heightened to an ear-splitting scream. Suddenly, the creature broke away from Aliana with a low moan, and I watched as it flowed down into the staff's core like a black, rushing river. Aliana's power seemed to be a living being instead of just an ability. And as the core stole it from her, the Marchioness slumped forward with panting breaths. I'd expected her to fight harder than this, but me and my women hadn't given her a chance even to lift a finger. As Aliana's exhausted head slumped onto my shoulder, I stepped back with a disgusted grunt. The Marchioness crumpled to her knees and barely supported herself on her right arm when she fell forward. She took a deep breath, and her entire body shuddered from exhaustion. I glanced down at the staff's core and watched as colors flashed from inside of it while it absorbed Aliana's ability. In one swift movement, I leaned down, bent my knee, and leaned my elbows against it. Using the tip of the staff, I reached forward and lifted Aliana's face. "I want you to tell me something," I whispered. "Why is Granum so heavily protected? What are you or what is the Queen doing here that needs to be shielded from the rest of the world?" The Marchioness's yellow eyes met mine, and her lips curled into a snarl. I knew what she was doing. She was attempting to activate her power, but she couldn't. It was gone forever.
"I won't tell you,"
Aliana snarled through gritted teeth.
"I'll never tell you, brute swine."
"Very well." I nodded, leaned back, and turned toward my waiting monster women. "You will eventually. Maybe not right now as an aristocrat. But maybe in a few hours after your transformation you will. Though I'm sure that after my soldiers raid this town, we'll find whatever you're hiding."
"Transformation?"
the Marchioness sneered.
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"Well," I uttered and spread my arms out at the scene around us. "I managed to fuse humans and creatures. Look at my women. They're the product of my genius. They're more powerful than any woman will ever be. But not only that, Aliana. They believe that men are more than slaves. They believe that men are equal and deserve to live freely in this world."
"How do you know my name?"
the Marchioness spat.
"I didn't tell you. Unless you knew it before you came here."
"Oh, no." I shook my head, grinned, and pointed down toward Ascara. "I learned it from him. Do you recognize him?" Aliana lifted her yellow gaze upward, and my women stepped aside. Ascara moved forward with his hands folded in front of him. His unused warhammers hung limply from his fingertips, but his eyes connected with Aliana's with an audible click.
"Ascara. My love, Ascara,"
the Marchioness whispered and scuttled a little closer.
"What are you doing here? Oh my, you used to be such a little scampering pup, and now you've grown so much. What happened to you? Why are you here? What happened to your face, pet? Where did you get the scar?"
"I knew it was you," the guard stated in a firm voice. "The moment Charles mentioned the soul suckers, I knew it was you who was in charge of Granum."
"I always had such a tender place in my heart for you, puppy."
Aliana smiled weakly.
"I always missed our long talks. I never had a consort after you who was so intelligent and gentle."
"Aliana," Ascara began and then cleared his throat. "Aliana, you need to tell Charles what the Queen is doing here."
"I should have known you would bite the hand that feeds you,"
the Marchioness barked, retreated on the steps, and slammed out a hand toward him.
"God damn it! Why won't my power work, you bastard? You know, Ascara, it's always the quiet ones who do the things you don't suspect. I should have known you were a weasel. I can see it now in your eyes."
"Let's get her out of here." The guard sighed and batted a hand in Aliana's direction. "We're not going to get any information out of her in this state."
"You won't touch me,"
the Marchioness snarled, but she was thrown back with a soft yelp.
You will stay down!
Cleia snarled as she retracted the wall of ice and replaced it with a pair of frozen shackles, just as she'd done with Samilla. Cecilia, I uttered, and the redhead skipped over. Will you do the honors and take her back to the caravan? She'll be the first one we transform once we've captured the rest of the aristocrats. Then we'll get the answers that we need.
Yep.
The Black Drake woman sang, skipped over, and grabbed Aliana by the crook of her arm.
I'll be right back in a jiffy.
Let go of me!
The Marchioness screamed.
I'll kill you, freak! Get off of me!
Not going to happen,
the ex-guard grinned.
Before long, you'll be one of us, Aliana, and you're going to love it. We all do.
With a puff of royal blue and black smoke, a portal appeared in front of the two of them, and Cecilia dragged the struggling Marchioness toward it. The aristocrats screamed and wriggled to get free, but it was no use since the ex-guard was too strong. In one swift movement, Cecilia held the shackles between both hands, lifted Aliana up off the ground, and tossed her through the portal. The redhead brushed off her hands, then crossed them over her chest.
What are we going to do after that?
Ryan asked, pressed a single hand to her growing stomach, and tilted her head curiously.
Move on to the next city?
You know, I uttered, we've been on quite a tight schedule lately. What if we celebrated for a night or two?
You mean...
the imp woman gasped.
A feast? A feast! Charles, I'm so hungry. I could eat a whole horse. Maybe even one of those wild boars we ran across a while back.
I'm sure if we threw a feast...
Daisy chuckled.
We'll be eating more normal foods. But we could see what we can do to suit your needs, Ryan.
Is that wise, Charles?
Edeny asked.
Shouldn't we pack up and move on to the next city before anyone hears about what happened here?
No one will learn what happened to Granum, I assured. No one's escaped, and even if they did, the nearest city is Burskan, and beyond that, Edenheart. Both of those are empty except for the soldiers and monster women I left stationed there. No one except for us will know what happened here.
Well, howdy, partner,
a familiar voice shouted, and the sound of pounding hooves echoed down the long street.
Did you finish what you needed to?
Matilda and two of the desperados rode into view, pulled back their reins, and then hopped down off their mechanical beasts' backs. Yes, I nodded. What about you? Reports from the front lines?
Well, most of the wall is coming down,
the green-haired woman told us.
And the rest of the soldiers have taken the aristocrats into custody. And now they're ransacking the houses and businesses. We wanted to get your approval before we went in and stole some stuff, too.
Well, it's not exactly stealing, I explained. We go in, take supplies or items that we'll need in the future, and then head out. A lot of the time when we search the houses, we're also looking for servants or aristocrats who've hidden during all of the pandemonium.
So what you're saying is...
Matilda laughed.
If a few things go missing here and there, we won't get into trouble?
As long as it isn't something important we'd need in the future, I smiled. Then sure, take whatever you want.
All right!
The lead desperado cried, slapped her hands together, and then vigorously rubbed them together.
We'll start getting a looting then. I didn't expect all this to happen so fast, Charles. You really came in here, busted them up, and then took what you wanted.
I guess that's true, I laughed heartily. But I'll tell you this now. You'll have to finish up collecting all of the aristocrats before you can go in and take the things you want.
Fine,
Matilda laughed.
Fine, 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 Charles. Is there anything else we should go looking for?
Yes, I nodded and stepped forward. Food and alcohol. Lots of it. We're throwing a feast. It's time to celebrate like the true conquerors we are.